Proverbs 22. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Now, I've been speaking on this topic since the beginning of this year, and the response I get is often that I should be speaking to parents and to adults as well as about children, because pornography has become a huge problem, including a huge problem within Christian families and Christian circles. Earlier this year, I was speaking to missionaries from Ethiopia, and they heard that I was speaking on the topic of children and pornography and said that even within the mission field, this is becoming an issue. Now, last week, I asked people to put up their hands so that we could see who had been affected by violence. I'm not going to ask who has been watching pornography, so you can relax. But by the same token, there are no free samples tonight. Would you indulge me just for a moment? I want you, so that the people around you are not embarrassed, please join in. Just for a moment, close your eyes. Picture in front of you a little house. And next to the house, a huge tree. And growing from that tree, a massive branch growing towards the roof of the house. And for a moment, imagine the effort it would take to shift that branch, to bend it so that it grows in another direction. Now picture a green sapling, just a little tree, with green leaves and green branches that bend easily. And how much more easily you can alter the direction of that branch, or clip it if necessary. And now open your eyes. The analogy within human behavior is a very simple and well-known one. And it is this truth which is contained in the proverb which I've just read to you. It is easy to shape behavior from an early age, but it is very difficult to shape or change it once that behavior is set in adulthood. And so there's more to be gained in addressing this at an early age and using some preventative measures than what it is to address it in adult years. Now, I gave my life to Christ in 1978. I started counseling in 1981, and by the end of 1981, I was counseling people on death row. That's what led to my interest in psychology, so I shifted my focus from science to psychology. And I've been running a practice constantly since 1989. But it's only in recent years that there has been a flood of persons who have been coming to see me about this issue. Yes, throughout my practice, I've seen the consequences of early exposure to inappropriate material. But it's because of the electronic age that we are in and the ready availability of pornography that this is becoming a serious issue in our society. And it's interesting that the people who come to see me and the places from where I get referrals are primarily Christian. And it appears the reason for that is not that Christians watch more pornography, or that Christians are more exposed to it, but that largely the secular world does not consider this to be a serious issue. I was somewhat concerned that there was a relative shortage of good material on the topic. There was a relative shortage of information about how pornography affects the human being, whether child or adult, and what you can do about it. For those who are interested, there is a good resource, family.org, James Dobson and Focus on the Family have some good resources, including some on pornography, and you can find good advice there. But I was concerned that the kinds of talks and materials that one could access, especially locally, tended to either demonize the issue with very little insight, or to consider it not to be a serious problem. However, in practice, I am seeing it as a very alarming and serious problem that is affecting people's lives, sometimes devastatingly. And it's for that purpose that I want to share with you what I have seen and learned in practice. I want to give those who don't have an idea, just an idea of what is happening within the pornography industry currently, what the effect is on the human psyche, what the consequences are as you grow up, what can be done to prevent exposure, and what can be done if somebody has been exposed to pornography and has become a user of it. Perhaps I should say a word here about the law of natural consequences. Whether or not you are a Christian, God has put laws into the universe, and behavior has consequences. So whether or not you are a believer, if you sleep around, you are likely to get venereal diseases, including AIDS. If you smoke, you are more likely to get lung cancer. And the same is true in this field. There are consequences of people's behavior that have long-term effects. And yes, we believe in a miraculous God, but I see Christian people struggling with the devastating effects of especially childhood exposure to inappropriate sexual material. Now, there are wonderful quotes about stats and how unreliable statistics are. One of my favorites was a colleague who said, if you torture the statistics long enough, they will confess. So don't believe everything that you read. It's also a truth that something like 87% of all stats are made up on the spur of the moment. Sorry, let's make that 91%. But there are some credible sources of surveys and statistics. And I'd like to share some of what is going on. First of all, the availability of pornography today, let's just say it's completely different to what was available in my youth. Not only is the availability of magazines and movies with sexual content much greater today, pornography no longer being illegal, but with the modern electronic age, you can access the very worst material in the privacy of your own home or study or even bedroom. So the intensity and diversity of what people are exposed to today is something new. Where are children accessing pornography currently? Magazines and movies, and I believe that more than half of all the illegal DVDs sold in our country are pornographic. I think most of you will know that pornography is readily accessed via most cell phones today. Spam, that's email that people don't want with sexual material, is a great source of pornography, especially exposure to kids. Chat rooms, redirecting children towards pornographic sites. Children access pornography at some informal internet cafes that have no filters and no policy in this regard, and will even willingly show the children where to access it. Sometimes friends. Horrifyingly, some children are accessing pornography at school. ETV. And just a quick word about that. I was flipping through channels recently, well, a couple of years back, and saw a scene of a woman blowing smoke from her private parts. That's hard porn. That's not soft porn on ETV. I wouldn't know what's available on satellite channels, but I can just imagine. Web pages on the internet, I believe in 98, there was something like 14 million web pages, pornographic web pages. That had grown to something like 206 million in the year 2003. That's a 2,000% growth in 5 years. I don't know who it was that was accessing all this and counting it, or what he was doing there in the first place, but I can imagine that it's even worse today. Would you like to guess what the average age is at which children are exposed to pornography in the States on the internet? It's 8 years. According to a large federal study. So, pornography is easily and readily available, and the best filters do not keep it out of your computer, especially if children access news groups, because most of the material on news groups currently is pornographic. What strategy are pornographers using in order to elicit customers? Because there's a huge competition for customers. A recent expose and confession by the manager of the largest pornographic website in the United States explained that you do not get customers by advertising soft porn or even hard porn. Customers hit on your website when you're advertising perversity, such as bestiality, and violence. There's been a change in what people look for. And when I explain how pornography affects the psyche, that'll maybe explain this to you, why this is the case. Perhaps with that I should move on and tell you what one of the greatest dangers is in the area of pornography with kids. And that's pedophiles. Pedophiles, and I believe that the statistic is somewhere around 80% locally, convicted pedophiles, something like 80% of them, use pornography in the exploitation of children to desensitize kids and also to show them what it is that they require from them. What then are the negative effects of pornography? What's this fuss all about? And I must maybe first say that not everyone is affected the same. There are those that are more vulnerable. But it's something like the risk of alcoholism. From birth, some people are pre-programmed to be susceptible to alcohol. And many of you will have heard of fetal alcohol syndrome. And in a sense, that's a very good analogy, because alcohol increases your risk of addiction the more you're exposed to it. And I think pornography is something of the same. The greater the intensity and the greater the frequency of use, the greater the chances are of the psyche being negatively affected. First of all, pornography desensitizes one. When pornography first became legal in South Africa, many people were fascinated with soft porn and went on to hard porn. From there to perversity. From there to bestiality and violence. Why? Because you become used to what you are seeing. It no longer shocks you. It no longer surprises you. In the second place, one's appetite is whetted. And you no longer get the same degree of excitement from material that you have been exposed to. So you need to look for material that is more exotic, more strange, and more exciting. And I hear this from all my clients with a problem in this field. There is a growth in perversity in the material that is sought as the appetite is whetted. Another danger, and especially for children, is acting out. Monkey see, monkey do. So what you're exposed to is what you try later on with your friends or your girlfriend or boyfriend. And so promiscuity and perverse sex are becoming a very real problem in our schools today. Pornography also causes a split between the sexuality that you enjoy and that you practice and the relationship and being of the other person. So it causes relational difficulties, sexuality without responsibility, and sex without responsibility. Deceit becomes a problem, because it's a part of one's life that needs to be hidden away. It's a part of one's life that you cannot be open with. Interpersonal conflict, not just between parents and children, but later on in life, between spouses, between husband and wife. Because it's not a habit that goes away after marriage. And that's the mistake that a lot of young clients that I see have made, is they presume that the problem they are developing with pornography will magically disappear once they are married and in a stable relationship, and it does not. Rejection, ultimately, because of the habit, because of the problems, because of the ensuing behavior. Shame and guilt. Anger and frustration, relational difficulties with God, because inevitably what happens with most of these sins, whether it's murder or watching pornography, is people begin to split off areas of their life. This is something I need to do. Even something as hideous as murder, this is something I need to do, but I'll just take it and put it aside into a different area of my life. Splitting, we call it in psychology. Those are just some of the consequences of pornography. But for children especially, and you must remember that children are sexual beings from a very early age. But for children particularly, what happens is that the sexual development is perverted because it becomes a larger portion of the child's psyche than it should. Some degree of curiosity and even exploration are normal. But when the child is exposed, and usually by an older child or by an adult, to material or an intensity that is not normal, this creates a skewed development. Children actually begin to miss out on other activities, on some of the important aspects of relational growth. And this merely accelerates as the years go by. And so I routinely hear from adults, from people that are in their 40s and 50s, who were exposed at an early age to sometimes very innocent but excessive sexual activity and inappropriate sexual activity, that their whole lives have become distorted and perverted as a natural consequence of what happened in their youth. It's probably a well-known fact that the bulk of abusers of children were themselves abused as children or exposed to pornography as children. Understand, it whets an appetite that creates perverse growth. Well, then what do you do? What can we do, first of all, to prevent this kind of growth? And what can we do for someone who has been exposed? The best strategies are not a guarantee that a child will not be exposed to pornography. Please understand that. There are pedophiles and pornographers who know that adults do not want their children exposed to inappropriate material. And they look for ways and find ways of exposing children. Older kids are also a risk to younger kids. But what we can do, what we can sensibly do, a couple of things. Let me first of all say another of those surveys around children and pornography found, and this is an American statistic, that I've seen none for South Africa, that something like 51% of children who are exposed to pornography act on advice they have been given by their parents. We want to get that as close to 100% as possible. You want your child to know ahead of the time how to act when they are exposed to anything that is bad, whether it is drugs, to sexual abuse, or to pornography. And this is what we need to do. We need to inform our kids about the strategies, how to say no, switch off the computer. Don't respond to the person trying to elicit information from you. Just simply log off. Walk them through the steps they need. And remember, some of the sites are insidious. As you try to click out, other sites pop up so that you get a never-ending cycle of pornography on the computer. Teach the kids not to overreact, not to become embarrassed, to call it to the attention of whichever adult is nearby. Explain to them that that's nothing to be ashamed of. We'll be proud of you if you actually bring it to our attention that there is a problem or that you're getting this kind of material. So, predispose your kids that when the event happens, they already have a repertoire of behavior that they can engage. You need to have good internet policy and practices in your home, and here are a couple of them. Have adult content filters on your browsers. There are some commercial ones which I believe are good. I'm not an expert on IT, and I'm sure that if you consult, you're going to get good advice in that regard. And make sure that news groups are not loaded on your email facilities. Keep your kids out of chat rooms. If your kids want to contact their friends, let them do it telephonically or face-to-face. Privacy of information. And this is important not just in terms of pornographers and pedophiles. It's also important in terms of economic fraudsters. Teach your children not to give out personal information. Not what mommy and daddy do for a living. Not what city we live in, not what suburb or our street address, no telephone numbers, and not even your name and details. Do not give out information over the internet. That's very important. Disable things such as Java and JavaScript on your browser. Monitor the site history. I know there are ways around this. I was horrified when my son Daniel, who is now 8, could bypass the passwords on his own computer. You know, kids inevitably will find ways past some of the best controls you put in. And teach your children to use children-friendly search engines. Jeeves, I think, is no longer in existence. I think it was bought by Google. That seems to be one of the safer engines. If not, please tell me. But some of the golden rules are: know where your child is, know your children's friends, get to know them, know what the kids do, go and have a look what they are watching and what they are playing, know the setup at their friends' homes, speak to their parents, be open and candid about these things. My children are not allowed to smoke or drink or watch pornography. They're not allowed to have unsupervised access to the internet. I need to know that that's not taking place at their friends' homes. Timely and godly sex education is an important preventative measure, that you don't get distortion when the kids are exposed. Please understand the possibility is that children will be exposed. It's what you do about it when you're exposed that counts most. But what can you do if you or your children have been exposed to pornography and have become a user of it? What can you do if this behavior has begun to act out in your life? Well, I think that one of the golden rules for parents is utilize this as an opportunity for open communication. Utilize this as an opportunity to share information with them. I don't think that the tactic of using shame is effective, and in fact, it seems to be associated with a greater obsession afterwards than with anything else. But as an opportunity for education and communication, it is excellent. But what then if you have spoken to your child and shared your thoughts and you catch him using pornography again? Don't see it as a failure. See it as another opportunity for education and for communication. Try and impart godly wisdom to your kids in the process. Find other focuses for the energy and activities. If necessary, seek counseling. And if necessary, seek professional help. And if you don't get the kind of assistance you need, seek it again elsewhere. In Philippians 4, Paul gives us the following. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The secret to pornography and to getting this out of your life is not effort and trying to keep it out of your mouth, your mind. For example, if I was to say to you, try not to think of cow, what do? You think of cow. Rather, set your mind on the higher things, on the Word of God. Meditate on that. Study the Scriptures. Watch godly movies if you can. Take your problem to God. Isn't that what the gospel is about? The fact that we are sinful, every single one of us is inclined to do the things that we ought not, and inclined not to do the things that we ought. But there's forgiveness for that through the blood of Christ. So take this to God, whose mercies are new every morning. Andrew Murray said it well when he said, surrender is not a thing that happens once off. It's a daily process of taking up your cross and laying down your life before God. So daily, take this up with the Lord. And there's the work of the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Galatians, are you so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are you made perfect in the flesh? We cannot be saved by our own efforts, and we cannot be sanctified by our own efforts. But God holds healing and cleansing for us. In Ezekiel, he tells us the following. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk within my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. I will deliver you from your uncleanness. Now, I don't know everyone here, and I don't know whether you've discovered God's work and His grace and His forgiveness for sins. But if there are here some here who do not know the Lord, I want to urge you tonight to seek Him. after church, approach me or a member of the church and tell us that you have a need for this counseling. If there's anything I have learned in all these years of counseling, and it's 27 years now, it is that it is easier to walk with God in these problems than what it is to go it on your own. There's some things that you will never overcome in your own strength that God can help you with. But maybe you're a Christian who has this problem, or have kids that have been struggling with it. And in that case, I also want to urge you to take this to God and to keep taking it to God. And in closing, I want to read a prayer. And I wonder if you, when I read it, will pray with me and make it your own prayer. It's from David, and it's thousands of years old. But it's as true, it's as relevant, and it's as powerful today as what it was in David's time. Because although we have this growth in technology, and the world looks very different today from what it did in the days of David, the heart of man is the same today as what it was then. And so we really can say there's nothing new under the sun. Would you pray with me? And I'm reading from Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the multitude of your tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned, and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak, and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me hear joy and gladness, that the bones you have broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit. We ask all these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. I want to invite you, after I've greeted those people that are leaving, I'm going to be in the hall with coffees being served. If you have questions, or you disagree with me, or you want to say a word or make a statement or point out something to me, I'll be in the hall, and I would welcome any constructive criticism and the ability to answer, or chance to answer, any questions that you might have. Thank you.